Amen. So this morning I want you to talk again in a little in your groups of two. I'm going to talk this morning about passion. Amen. The word passion is amazing, isn't it? So I'm actually going to be talking about our first core value as Shofar Christian Church. And here at Shofar Bloemfontein, we believe just as much as the global Shofar that this is our first core value, and it's called a passion for Jesus. Amen. Anyone know that? That it was our first core value? Passion for Jesus. We'll put up the banners sometime again. But I want to talk about that value this morning. But specifically, I want to talk about passion this morning. And what is passion? And specifically, ending off with a passion for Jesus. So I want you to share in your little group or the person that you're with. I want you to share what is your greatest passion. Now, don't say Jesus. Okay, don't say church. Anything other than church and Jesus, because that's like the religious answer. That's the right answer. Okay, but I really want you to be honest. What is the greatest passion in your life at the moment? Or maybe you're not pursuing that passion, but what is the greatest passion in your life at the moment? So share with the person what is your passion in just 1 or 2 minutes. So each person get a chance to share. Please, the talkers, just allow the quiet ones to also talk. And the quiet ones, please talk when you get a chance to talk. Passion is something strong, something really amazing to define, but the Lord took me to Revelation chapter 2 from verse 4 to 5. I just want to read that first before we get into this thing called passion, because the Lord writes here, he gives a warning or quite a strong word to the church in Ephesus. And he says the following, he says, "Nevertheless, I have this against you." So he's speaking to the church in Ephesus, the first of the seven letters to the book, or to the churches in that time in Revelation. And he says the following to the church in Ephesus. He says, "I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." Quite a strong word, and I believe the Lord is wanting to wake us up again. Thanks yours for your obedience and the word you brought. I believe God wants us to be woken up again as to what are we really living for? Who are we really living for? And to get back to our first love. Can I have an amen?
Yeah.
I'm just saying the following to the Lord at the moment. I'm saying, Lord, take me back to my first love. Lord, take me back to you. Take me back to my first love, Lord. Take me back to you. Because there's so many other things that we can love in this world. I mean, there's so many other things that we can be passionate about. And it's not bad things. God has placed passions in our heart. God's placed us a desire to do amazing stuff and to have passion. God, the reason we have passion is because God has placed that in our heart. There are amazing, passionate people out there. I mean, if you see what people are doing in this world, some of it is for God, some is not for God. But there's passion placed in every human being. Amen. God has placed it there. But if we don't channel that love, if we don't channel that passion to something for God's glory, it's not going to be a great life that we live. It's not going to be the best life. It's not about living the best life. You know, all the prosperity teachers these days, like, you know, make it your best life yet, you know. It's not about that. It's just about living a life for God. But if we're not living for God, we need to get back to that place of our first love. Amen. And God is saying to us as a church, and he's saying, just remember from where you've come. Remember your first love. Come back to your first love. The last while, God has been reminding me of just where I came from when I first met him and when I first got passionate for him. And I want to get back to that place. I just want to get back to, despite COVID, despite all the challenges we've been through, I want to get back to that place of love for Jesus first. Amen. So let's look at what is passion. Passion in the dictionary is defined as follows. Number one, a strong and a barely controllable emotion. A strong and a barely controllable emotion. And then the dictionary, this is the Oxford Dictionary, defines it and breaks it down into four things. Number one, a state or outburst of strong emotion. Anyone experienced that in your life before? I'm sure you have a state of outburst of strong emotion. I'm sure you feel strongly about something in life. God has placed that in our lives. And then secondly, an intense sexual love, which must only be woken up and awoken when the time is right. Amen. Married people, yes, you can do it. Unmarried people, no, not yet. It's an intense sexual love that's also a passion, defined as passion. Then intense desire or enthusiasm for something. I'm sure you've all experienced that. And lastly, arousing great enthusiasm. Simple as that. Passion is defined as arousing great enthusiasm. All defined under the term strong and barely controllable emotion. But I love what the dictionary defines as number two, and it should actually be number one, but it's like they cannot find a better definition than this, the suffering and death of Jesus Christ. It's in the dictionary. It's on Google. If you Google it, you'll see it's defined there. Isn't that amazing? The death and suffering, or the suffering and death of Jesus Christ, is the definition of passion. And I want to read this, or just a short little bit out of this article I found from I think he's a life coach, a guy called Robert Chen. He just wrote this article on the real meaning of passion. And he says, the most famous example of passion is the passion of Jesus Christ. Or the most famous example being the passion of Jesus Christ. And he defines passion as follows. A willingness to suffer for what you love. A willingness to suffer for what you love. And he says the following. He says, this definition has changed my perspective on passion. I no longer use it to describe something that I feel strongly about or that excites me. I rather use it to describe an activity, goal, or cause that I care so much about that I'm willing to suffer for it. This new standard makes it easier to discern whether something is truly my passion or simply a strong interest. Is the stuff that you're passionate about in your life really a strong passion, or is it just a strong interest? And he says the following. He says, people who make a difference in their own lives and the world do so by following their passion. This means making the conscious decision to give up other enjoyable activities to focus your energy on the most important activities. That I believe we must take note of that. This is not out of the Bible, but I believe this is so in line with the definition of passion. We need to decide sometimes to give up other enjoyable activities to focus our energy on the most important activities. And I believe you guys are young today, and you guys are zooming in or streaming in because you're passionate about Jesus and you want to be with him and you want to do what's on his priority list. That's why coming to church is important. And I'm thankful that you guys are here to hear what God is saying to each one of us. It's important sometimes to give up like an afternoon high tea on a Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock between choosing that which is so amazing and coming to church. It's a tough choice sometimes. Eh?
Yeah.
So we're going to call on our afternoon service like the high tea service, 4 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. We'll have tea instead of coffee. Nah, not the chauffeur people. Eh? Especially with Marnus and Theo making us awesome coffee at the back there, we won't go for the high tea. We'll go for coffee at 4 o'clock. But sometimes it's going to be uncomfortable. Sometimes life brings across our path things that are a little bit uncomfortable. We have to choose, is something a strong interest? Is it a nice thing to have, an enjoyable activity, or is it really a passion? Great parents, he goes on, naturally do this when they have children. And similar to raising kids, doing what you love is very hard work, yet rewarding at the same time. The good news is that when you pursue your passion, you'll not only like where you end up, but you'll also enjoy the journey along the way. And I just want to quickly look at four things that the Lord has laid on my heart in terms of his life, Jesus' life, looking at the passion that made Jesus do what he did for all of us. And then there's four things, and you can write them down. Number one, passion, I believe, is born by the Spirit. Passion is something that is born by the Spirit. Biblical passion, let's define it as biblical passion. Because there is a lot of other passion. But this passion that is defined by the suffering and death of Jesus Christ, I believe is defined as, or is characterized, number one, by being born of the Spirit. True passion is never born of the flesh. It's not an emotional thing. It's born of the Spirit. Listen to Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. That word alighting actually means remaining or continuing. Some commentators say it's like a coming and a going, but it just meant that the Spirit was always upon Jesus. It came upon him and it remained upon him and it led him wherever he went. See, passion isn't something that you grow into. You can increase your passion and improve your passion, but you either have passion or you don't. And passion is something that is born of the Spirit of God. Amen. And you will know it when there was a passion in your life, like a passion that came into your life for Jesus. You knew it. You knew it. It was there. It was the day that you got born again and got Spirit-filled and baptized. Some of it all happened at once, or sometimes it happens very quickly, sometimes over a period of time. But passion is something that you get the Holy Spirit births it in you, a passion for Jesus. That's what I'm going to say again this morning. Let's look back and let's remember our first love. Let's remember that time when Jesus first saved us from ourselves and from the sin in our lives. I'll never forget when I used to come to Shofar and visited the church, and I was a bit skeptical, but I could see these people were different. I could see something was different there. There was a passion for Jesus, which I hadn't had before. I'd been around church life for a while, and I'd been serving God. I wanted to serve God, but I was serving God from my emotions and my flesh. Because I knew I was going to heaven, so just because I'm going to heaven, I better serve God. Better do something for God. But I grew tired of serving God. And I started to ask questions. Is this really the God that has saved me? Is this Him? Does He grow tired? I could see some of these Shofar people were like crazy. They just had a different passion. They seemed to serve a Jesus different to the one I knew. But I remember just desiring more of Jesus and saying, Jesus, I want more of You. And then he revealed to me that I didn't have His Spirit. He revealed to me that I'm doing a lot of stuff out of the flesh and I needed His Spirit. I needed to be baptized in His Spirit. And I got baptized with the Holy Spirit, and at the similar time I got baptized in water around about the same time, not exactly the same time, but in that time the Lord was calling me to a deeper relationship with Him. And so experienced this passion being born in me by the Holy Spirit. God doing something in me. And since that day, I've never wanted to look back. There's been times when I've wanted to give up on certain things, but I've never looked back on Jesus. I've always known He's my first love. And He wants me coming back to that every time. Last night, Matthew was invited by one of his friends to go and camp on a farm outside near Jagersfontein, about an hour and a half's drive. So we went Saturday morning and spent last night there. And they've built this little nice sort of, a boma thing, you know, where you sit sort of round the camp, there's a campfire in the middle, a nice place to make a fire, and we're all sitting in a half moon, almost like this morning, or this afternoon's, like there, the fire's like, yeah, around, let's say the fire's there, and then everyone was sitting over there, like in a half moon, round this fire burning, talking, telling stories, having a wonderful time. And I just loved this picture of what Jesus is calling us to do, sit around Him where He's the fire. He's wanting us to come to His warmth. He's wanting us to come closer to Him and experience His warmth. Amen. Truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. I've heard a definition before that goes as follows. Passion without compassion is fanaticism. Passion without compassion is fanaticism. And that's why the second thing, friends, this afternoon is that passion is not only born by the Spirit, but passion moves you to mission. Passion starts by the Holy Spirit giving you a desire for more of Jesus, filling you with Jesus Himself, filling you with His power and His gifts and His fruit, but then saying like Jesus, I'm on a mission for God. I need to move into a mission. And if passion for Jesus hasn't moved something in your heart, then I want to say, ask Him, desire more of Him, that He can move you to something. Otherwise, it's just a good feeling. But this move here means His bowels, His insides were moved deeply that He did something about it. And He knew His mission. He knew He couldn't just die right there, but He knew that is where He was going. He was going to the cross. He was going to die for the sins of the world. He was going to be the shepherd that every person needed. And He says to His disciples, He says, pray because I need laborers. My harvest is plenty. I'm coming and I'm going to die for the people, but laborers need to be raised up. And guess who those laborers are? You guys. He says, you disciples, you are ultimately the laborers. You're going to pray and you're going to be the answer to your own prayers. So compassion is defined as follows. The same article by this guy, Robert Chen, says the following. He says, compassion is defined as, he puts it like this, com plus passion equals willing to suffer with another person. Not willing to suffer for another person, willing to suffer for what you love, but willing to suffer with another. That is what compassion is. It's, are you willing to suffer with someone else who's suffering? And he says, if you want to show true compassion, share in the suffering of another person. Interestingly, when we all become more compassionate, he says, there will probably be less suffering in the world. And that's what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to deliver us from a life of uncompassion, you know, uncompassionate, uncaring, just don't care attitude. Jesus came to bring us and to move us to a place of mission where we can do something about the problems. But not just do something out of a feeling of guilt or shame, or I better do something, a feeling of moving out of a place of compassion and a place of passion. What is Jesus calling you to move into? What mission is he calling you to move into? And I don't want you to go into any mission until you say, Lord, stir my heart with passion, with true biblical passion, which includes compassion. Otherwise, it's just a fanatic. I'm just a radical, you know. There's so many radicals out there that don't really care about people. And even in the church, we have to repent and say, Lord, sometimes we're just radical for you and we don't really care. But let's not lose our radicalness for Jesus. Let's have it birthed in compassion. Amen. Which is suffering with another person. Seeing the needs out there. And sometimes you need to go, you and I need to go to a place where we can really suffer with someone, and then we can be moved into a place of changing the world. Otherwise, it's just emotion. Thirdly, Jesus' life was characterized in the final hours just before he died. And this is where passion is really defined. Passion is defined here in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus comes in this place of Matthew chapter 26, and he's saying to his disciples, I need you to pray with me. I need you to watch with me. That's where the watchman comes from, just watching with me for 1 hour. And he says to the following, he says, I'm exceedingly sorrowful. My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to the point of death. Stay here and watch with me, he asks. And then he went a little further and he fell on his face and he prayed and saying, oh my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. A characteristic of Jesus' life is that he always prayed. He always went away and sought his Father's face. He went to seek the face of God. He went away, and in this time he just says, you know what, I can go alone, but I really want you guys to watch with me. I want you to stay with me. I want you to pray with me. I'm struggling. I'm a man. I'm flesh. I'm flesh and blood. Sinful man. Well, not sinful man. I'm a human being, 100% man. I'm 100% God, yes, but now I'm in my place of being 100% man. I need you to support me. And Jesus knew probably that they had a choice. They could sleep or they could watch with. But he was so filled with passion that it brought him to his knees. It brought him to a dependence upon the Father. See, if passion, and we're talking about prayer the last while, like we heard last Sunday and the last couple of weeks with Martin, the amazing training we did. And I just believe that if prayer is not birthed out of this place of passion for Jesus, it's just going to be another thing we have to do. Amen. So I'm just reminded again of my own prayer life. And are we at the place where we're so filled with Jesus, so filled with his passion that we brought to our knees many times? We brought to our knees when we realize we've come to the end of ourselves. And I believe that God is going to give us such a big vision that it's not going to be able to be fulfilled in our own strength. And he's going to give you a vision for your life. If you're really passionate for him, he'll give you something to do that's beyond what you are capable of in your own strength. Otherwise, you don't need Jesus. Amen. And I'm realizing it in the ministry, you know, I have to repent, say, Jesus, sorry for trying to build church. Sorry for many times doing church actually without you, Lord. Sorry, Lord, because I actually signed up to do it, and it's like a work that is beyond me, Lord. I'm not capable of this, but Lord, your Spirit is. Because passion is birthed in the Spirit. Passion, I was born by the Spirit, and God called me into ministry. I didn't know it that day, but when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I did get called into ministry. Just didn't realize it then. But God is going to call each one of you into a place where the passion in you is going to need to go to a place where you're on your knees constantly. Jesus was always on his knees. He was always praying. And if it doesn't bring you to your knees, is it really passion? And is it a passion worth pursuing? Because if you don't need Jesus, if you don't need to be on your knees, then why say my passion is for Jesus? It's probably not. It's just using Jesus to maybe build your own kingdom. As tough as that seems. So it's a place of prayer, first of all, and a place of trust. Jesus had to trust his Father, and he says, Father, I don't exactly know. I really don't want to go through with this. Can't you have another plan, Lord? I'm sure there could be another plan. But Lord, if it's not possible, let your will be done. Lord, if this is your will, I surrender. Thanks for that song, Kristen. We're going to sing it now again and truly surrender our lives again to Jesus. Oppression brings us to our knees, and it brings us to a place of trust and surrender, and we need to do it all the time. Amen. Because if we don't, we're coming to a place where we're doing it on our own strength again. And then it's passion more about emotion and more about feeling good for us, feeling good about ourselves rather than saying, Lord, it's about obedience to you. And then the last one. Passion doesn't only be born by the Spirit, and it doesn't only bring us to a place of compassion or move us to mission, and it doesn't only bring us to our knees, but passion ultimately will sustain us throughout our lives. The end of his life, or not the end of his life, but the end of his suffering on the cross, he says the following. He cried out again. Matthew chapter 26, Jesus cries out with a loud voice. Say, loud voice. Loud. That speaks of passion. Amen. Cried out with a loud voice. He shouted to the ends of the earth. He shouted into the spiritual realm and yielded up his spirit. And the other gospel writers talk about it is finished. John writes in John chapter 19 saying it is finished. Jesus said it is complete. It is done. Tetelestai. It's finished. I fulfilled my mission. And Luke writes and he says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Jesus gave up his spirit, but he cried out with a loud voice, a passionate voice, yielded up his spirit, and he said it is finished. And guess what the response was? Many things happened in chapter 51, 52, and 53, but listen to the response of the centurion and those with him. Those who were guarding Jesus and who were with the centurion saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, and they feared greatly, and they said, truly, this is passion. This must be the Son of God. This we've never seen before. Something in the spirit shifted. Something amazing happened. Jesus Christ fulfilled all righteousness, fulfilled scripture, and he died for the sins of the world. Passion allows you and me to overcome. Amen. Passion allows you, true passion, biblical passion, will allow you to fulfill the mission in your life, will allow you to overcome every challenge that you are going through. I know some of you guys, some of us have been through tough times these last 6 months. It hasn't been easy. Michelle and yours are just a testimony, but I believe it's just a sign of all of us have had our struggles and our wrestles. Isn't that so? Anyone a human being in this time? None of us are robots. We haven't just, let's just recalculate. You know, like the GPS, just recalculate. Oh, COVID's here, let's just recalculate, find another route. No, it's not that easy. It hasn't been that easy. But I think it's taught us a few things, amen. It's taught me a few things of just the courage that Jesus births in our lives. The courage that you know, we can overcome, we can keep going. Maybe your marriage has been challenged, maybe your relationship with your kids, or maybe just your relationship with your mom and dad, you students that maybe you've had to be at home like too long, you know. Or maybe you haven't been home long enough. You haven't had a holiday. You've been, and I know some people watching maybe, and some people that I know in our church have been caught up here in Bloemfontein for 6 months. They haven't students. They haven't gone home. And I'm like, you need to get out. That's crazy. How did you make it? Well, I believe Jesus helped people. I mean, but it was tough. It was terrible. But all of us are going to have to overcome in our lives. And even for me, and I shared with you guys when we had our first service here a month ago, I shared, like, I really at times thought I'm going to leave the ministry, that this is too tough. This is like, you know, church is already tough. Now we can't even have church physically. Yeah, this is just one step too far. Online church, no. But then the Lord births that passion in your life, and he just says, you know what, you're going to overcome this. Don't worry, there's still more to come. This is just a test. Only one day will it end. One day when we see Jesus face to face, then we won't have to overcome anymore. Then we'll reach our final goal. But until then, guys, it's a marathon. We're going to have to keep running. And you might have to walk at times. You might have to stop and just drink a Coke and rest. That's fine. Do that. But your finished goal is there. It's not here. Our prize is in heaven, our prize isn't here, but Jesus did it for us, amen. And you know, last night when we were sitting around that fire, and it's like, near to Jagersfontein and Forrest Smith, you can't even see the lights of Forrest Smith, but we could see the lights of Jagersfontein, like not lots of lights, it's really a small little place, but you could see the light shining up into the clouds over the mountain. Not like actual the light, just the reflection of the light on the clouds, you know what I mean. But I was thinking like how a small light like that, a few lights of a small little village or town called Jagersfontein can still shine and be seen. Why? Because it's totally dark. If we were here in Bloemfontein and there's a lot of lights and you sort of, you know, you can't really see another light shining there because there's already a hazy, there's a little bit of light sort of, you know. So when you're in a town like this, you can't see lights of another town shining because there's sort of light already, you know. But when you're in a dark place, when you're in this place where there's a farm and there's no lights because they don't have electricity there, so we literally had the fire and that was it, and a few headlights which we switched off, we could see the lights reflecting from the office one day. And I was just reminded again that, you know, when the darkness comes, our lights are going to shine even brighter, amen. When there's light, you know, another light's not going to make much of a difference. But when there's darkness, a little light will shine a lot. Amen. Doesn't that encourage you to shine your little light? You know, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. So shine your light, overcome and shine your light, amen. Because passion allows us to overcome, and passion brings us to a place where our lights must just shine. Why? Because darkness is getting worse and worse. There's gross darkness covering the earth. But your light is going to shine, friends. And it's not your light. And remember that it's not your light, it's His little light. This little light of you, Jesus. It's not my little light. That song is a little bit wrong. It's not my light, it's the light of Jesus in you. Let His light shine even brighter in you. Because passion allows you to overcome. Passion will help you to overcome and get to heaven one day. Passion is amazing. But is it passion for Jesus? And I want to end off by saying the following. Christo, you and Simon can come up, and we're going to sing that song, I Surrender Again. And we're going to commit our lives to Jesus afresh this evening, this afternoon. Amen. And surrender again and say, Jesus, I want you to be my first love, because I believe passion for Jesus, guys, comes from intimacy with Jesus. Passion for Jesus comes from an intimacy with Jesus. An intimacy with Jesus is a deep knowing, or a deep longing, sorry, a deep desire to know and be known. To know Him and be known by Him. That's where passion is born, is to know the will of God, to know Him, but also to know His will for your life, and then to say, Lord, you know me, but Lord, I really want you to know me. I want you to deal with me. I want you to deliver me of the stuff. Deliver me of the sin. Deliver me of the shame, of the guilt. Deliver me, Lord. Forgive me. Know me, Lord. Because God doesn't force Himself into your life. He knocks. Revelation 3, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Whoever's going to open the door for me, I will come in. And He's talking to believers. And I believe He's knocking. And He's saying, return to your first love. Amen. If there's other stuff that has consumed you in this last while, if your studies are consuming you, if your work is consuming you, if your marriage even and your relationship with your family is consuming you, then just say, Lord, without you, this is not going to work. In fact, Lord, without you, family means nothing. Family is for you, Lord. Family is for your glory. But Lord, help me to be a good dad, a good mom, a good son or daughter. Help me, Lord, to be a good friend to someone. Help me to be a good student, Lord. Help me to be a good worker for your glory. Don't let it consume you. Don't let it become so important to you. Don't let money become so important to you. Don't let success and fame and achievement be so important to you that you've lost your first love. And then sometimes you're even so busy that even coming to church is like, I'm just surviving. I'm going to tick it off my diary because I'm so busy. I'm so busy to go in the morning, I'll pray for 5 minutes or 2 minutes because I just have to have a quick skietgebeki, you know, the skietgebeki, because I just don't have time. Well, it's fine, but it's also not that fine. I really want to be honest. Now, yeah, it's okay, you know, but it's also not okay. It's really not okay to keep doing skietgebekis and not spend intimate time with Jesus. Amen. Are we so busy? Are we being consumed by this world? Or are we saying, Lord, this light that you've placed in me, I want it to shine. And I want it to shine even brighter as I spend time with you, as I get to know you, as I love you, give my life for you. Passion for Jesus. How is your passion level at this moment?
And is he really number one? And do you have that passion for Jesus? Because it is our core value. And I believe it changed my life to come into a group of people that love Jesus with everything. They were sold out for Jesus. That's what I experienced coming into Shofar. I believe, guys, people want to come in here. When the regulations lift and we can have more people coming, and people will come to the light of Jesus. It's not Shofar Bloomfield. It's not Alice. It's not our church that's so great. It's Jesus is in the middle. And you know, if he's the center of all of our lives, imagine how much passion there will be in here for Jesus. But if half of us are passionate for Jesus, the other half are like, oh, Jesus is just another God in my life. You know, he's just another thing that I tick off. Then the passion isn't going to be as great as it could be. Do you agree with me? But if we're all passionate about Jesus, then sure, people will come in. And I remember coming into Shofar in Stellenbosch back in the day, knowing these people are sold out for Jesus. Something is different. Something is amazing. I want that. I believe God is going to send us people that want to see that in our lives. Amen. So I want to ask you to close your eyes this afternoon. As the thunder clouds start to gather and the rain is going to come, God is going to send awesome rain this season. Mm-hmm. But he's going to send rain of the harvest as well. Amen. Amen. Yes, if we're having rain in spring, or I mean in September already, sure, what's to come in December, January, February? What about the harvest? If there's rain now, sure, the harvest is plentiful, guys. The laborers are few. But maybe this morning or this afternoon, you, yeah, while all eyes are closed and you're really honest with what the Holy Spirit is doing with you right now, maybe you need to make a commitment to Jesus Christ again. Or maybe you're listening, streaming in there wherever you are. Maybe you need to come back to Jesus Christ as your first love. And I want to give an opportunity right now and say, I would love to pray with you right there where you are. I'm not going to call you forward. I just want you to put up your hand. I want him to touch you by the Spirit of God. Jesus, by his Spirit, will just come to touch you. But if you need to give your life to Jesus for the first time, the second time, the third time, or you need to just come back to Jesus. He's there, but he's not your number one. He's not the first love. He's not your passion. Other things have become more passionate. You've become more passionate about other stuff. And I want you to be honest this morning and just raise your hand. I'm just going to do a quick prayer. I want us to fellowship. It's 5:30. So I want us to have some coffee and to support Theo and Marnus there with their shop and have some like a fellowship. But I want us to first do business with the Lord Jesus right now. I want you to raise your hand and say, Jesus, I want to come back to my first love. I've put other things first. So I want you to raise your hand there right where you are. And if you're listening, watching, then just do that wherever you are. Go onto your knees if you have to. Thank you for all those hands. Jesus, I just pray that you would touch each one right now. Just raise both your hands to Jesus in surrender. In fact, I want you to stand if you want to just do business with the Lord right now. Stand right there where you are and allow the Spirit of God and believe that God is going to touch your life. Thanks so much for your guys' willingness and your obedience and just your love for Jesus. I see people loving Jesus.